It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join the show tonight, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We're going to carry this Bears conversation rolling along here on ESPN 1000. We just heard Bears Weekly, Abdallah, and I had something I wanted to start you with, because last week, if you look around online, you could find win totals for the NFL. And different locations have the different totals. I have the DraftKings win totals in front of me. And what I was kind of noticing when we look at it, now, the Bears at 8.5 wins. If we just look at that alone by itself, that makes a lot of sense. You know, like looking at the improvements that Ryan Poles has made to this team and the assumed progression that we'll have from the quarterback position compared to what we saw last year with Justin Fields being swapped out, being traded to the Steelers, and then we assume the Bears will be drafting Caleb Williams with the number one pick. Winning 7 games last year, I don't think it's crazy to assume at least a 1-2 game improvement from what we saw at the end of last season.
Well, the problem is when you assume things, you know what happens. You're the ass. And so I look at it this way. It's a lot of assumptions, right? I assume mostly that the defense is going to play like they did at the end of the season throughout most of the season, right? Like, they're still not a Super Bowl contender, but because they have a last place schedule, we don't know the exact order of the teams that they're going to face, but we do know the opponents. They're playing the division, obviously. And then they've got a bunch of teams that finished last or second to last in their division. So you should be able to get some wins. And I think the defense, having played together for a full year, you know, when we talked to TJ Edwards during the season on Bears Night in Chicago, he said it takes a while for us to mesh together. Like, it takes a few, you know, a few weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months for them to mesh and actually figure out how to play without consistently having to communicate. You know, communicating without communicating with each other. Just being able to know where everyone is going to be without having to look around and all that kind of stuff. It just becomes second nature. So I assume that the defense is going to play better than they did last year, but that means throughout the entire season, not like better than they were really good at the end of the season. I also assume that the quarterback play is going to be equal to or better than what we got last year. I don't think that they're going to take a step back with Caleb Williams. I don't think that there's going to be some learning that he's going to have to do on the job. I get that. He's a rookie. But Justin Fields wasn't lighting the world on fire with his arm. That's why they moved on from him. So I assume that it's going to be equal to or greater than it was last year. And adding Keenan Allen and adding, you know, a better offensive line and continuing to tweak things, I think you're right. I think that they can get to 9 wins should be the goal for the season. I said 9 wins already without looking at the schedule. We'll see how it shakes out and what they add in the draft and all that kind of stuff. But right now, I'm comfortable saying that they'll win 9 games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think 10 is certainly in the vicinity of available options there for the Chicago Bears. And I think the improvement, I don't really see the defense taking a step back. I think what we'll kind of see is the offense improve. And you laid it out. I think it would be tough to see Caleb Williams coming in as a rookie quarterback and giving you worse production than what we saw from Justin Fields for the entirety of a season. Is it possible that he struggles from the start? Yeah, but I think eventually he will improve where Justin didn't quite do that. You know, the games like the Browns, various matchups against the Packers where Justin Fields was just completely overmatched in those spots, I don't think that we're going to see quite the same thing. Now, does it guarantee wins? It doesn't. I look at it and I think to myself, could he put up some stats even though the Bears lose some tight games? I think that's possible. Like, I could see Caleb Williams throwing for 300 yards in games and throwing touchdowns, but also throwing a couple interceptions, mm-hmm. Losing a fumble here and there. And then it being a conversation of he needs to take better care of the football for them to win, but I don't think the actual functionality of the offense is going to be held back because of a rookie quarterback. I think this kid can throw and he can manage an offense. So I don't think that those are going, like, that's a part of the critique with Fields was the management of the offense and the decision making and being able to let it rip. That's what Fields really struggled with.
See, to me, I just thought of the quote from, and the way that everyone has been talking about Ryan Poles from the jump when he got here and building the team the right way. I think Ryan Poles was looking at this year and looking ahead from 2 years ago when he started to tear everything down and getting rid of all the great defensive players and all of the dead money that they had on the books and starting to get younger on defense and spending the money wisely. And everybody kept saying it, building the team the right way, building the team the right way. Because you just said it, Caleb Williams could come in here and throw for three and average 300 yards a game, right? He might have a bunch of touchdowns, but he could also have a bunch of interceptions because he's also learning. It's his first year in the NFL. He's going to make rookie mistakes. But what helps a rookie out? A good defense. A good defense helps keep you in games when your quarterback is making mistakes and learning, right? And so to build up the defense for the last year and a half and to build the offensive line and to have the weapons with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and then add the rookie quarterback. Like, listen, if Fields would have played better in last season, we could be talking about how, look, I could say the same thing. What helps a struggling quarterback or a quarterback you know is going to miss a couple games? A strong defense, a defense that keeps you in games. Building the right way doesn't necessarily mean, well, you have to get offensive linemen first, and then you have to get defensive linemen first. It's about building your team in the right order. And I think building up this defense and them playing well at the end of the season last year and hoping that it translates into this season will help. Because look at how Mitchell Trubisky came in his first couple years. They made the playoffs his first year. He wasn't good. He was not a good quarterback. But they were in every single game because the defense had record turnovers the first year. They gave him great field position every single time. And that's why Mitchell Trubisky had a good win-loss record, because the defense kept them in games and he could, you know, he could have one or two touchdowns a game and the Bears could still win those games because the defense was limiting teams to under three touchdowns.
When we look at the win totals, I wanted to bring this up. The 8.5 for the Bears. Okay. There are seven teams also at the number 8.5 in Vegas. Those teams are the Colts, Chargers, Browns, Jags, Buccaneers, Rams, and Chicago Bears. When I list off those teams, those are all teams that if things go their way, they have a chance at a wild card spot. Now, the other thing I look at when you look at all the teams in the NFL, Abdallah, that have the win totals posted, let's just roll through the win totals and place the playoff teams. Because if you assume that Vegas knows what they're doing, the numbers are close. They always are. We all gamble on the NFL. We know from week to week on Sundays and whenever the NFL is playing that the games and the numbers in Vegas are usually pretty close. So let's give those in Vegas a little credit here in this exercise. And let's just take the win totals for what they are as if Vegas knows something. Okay? Let's do this. If you roll through, I will give you how the playoffs will shape up next season based on the win totals. The number one win total in the league, there are three teams at 11.5 wins. The 49ers, which means they would win the West. The Ravens, that would win the AFC North. The Chiefs, that would win the AFC West, those are all the 11.5 win totals.
Those are fair, yeah.
Probably the three best teams in football.
Yeah, absolutely.
We then go on to 10.5 wins, and that's the Lions, which would be your NFC North winner. The Packers at 10.5, which would mean the Packers would be your first wild card team from the NFC. The Eagles are 10.5. That means they would win the NFC East. And the Bills, also the East winner for the AFC at 10.5. You also get the Bengals at 10.5. They would be your first wild card team from the AFC. The Dolphins, 10.5. They would be the second wild card team from the AFC. The Falcons, 10.5. They would be the NFC South winner.
Wow.
And then you get to the final team slotted at 10.5 wins. That would be the Cowboys as the second NFC wild card team, 10.5 wins.
Okay.
So that's 10.5. Right there, after that, there are only four more playoff spots left. The four spots go to the Texans would be the South winner in the AFC with 9.5 wins.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets would be the final wild card team in the AFC at 9.5 wins. And then there are two wild card teams from the NFC, both at 8.5 wins. And based on the listing and the odds and the plus minus in Vegas, it would be the Buccaneers and the Rams, and the Bears would be that first team on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we're kind of projecting.
Yeah.
That this team, if things break their way, mm-hmm. they should be a wild card team in this upcoming season. And if you map it out based on how Vegas is projecting the win totals, the Buccaneers and the Rams are right there with the Bears as those final two wild card spots. Everything else in the conference is suggesting the Cowboys will get in with ease, the Packers will get in, the Lions, the Eagles,
oh, yeah.
and then the Falcons. Those are the teams that are the class of the NFC.
My goal for the season is still the same as last season. It doesn't change. I want Kornacki on the last weekend of the NFL season, or the second to last weekend, heading into that last week, heading into week 18, to be like, here's what the Bears need. The Bears need this to happen, the Bears need this to happen, and the Bears are still in. Like, in the hunt for the whole year. And, technically, the Bears were there up until the second-to-last weekend of the season. The last game didn't matter because they lost the second-to-last game, but they were still in the mix. They had a very minuscule chance of making it. But this year, they should be if the Bears win and, like, one more and the Rams lose, the Bears are in the playoffs, right? If the Bears win and the Cowboys lose, the Bears are in the playoffs. Like, so to me, the Bears should be in it, and not just like they have a 0.5% chance. Like, they have a 50-50 shot of making it. All they need to do is win, and one team needs to lose, but that team is facing, like, the Cowboys are facing the Eagles or something like that, and the Eagles are playing for seeding, so they're probably going to win or something like that. And they end up finding a way into the playoffs. And I believe that should be the goal up at Halas Hall as well for the team is – sure, you can say you want to make the playoffs. I don't think it's a disappointing season if they don't make the playoffs, but they need to be in that 9-10 win range for it to not be a successful season.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you look at it, Vegas is telling us that the Lions and the Packers are going to both be right around 10 wins, and both of those teams are playoff teams. I'm not going to disagree with that. What we saw, especially the Packers, going on the road to Dallas to win that first playoff game that they had last year, that was fantastic. I'm going to give them the credit. I don't think that they're going to take a step back and then all of a sudden just totally bottom out and struggle in this upcoming season. You know, if you keep going throughout the win totals, there are seven teams below the Bears in the conference, in the NFC. These are the teams that Vegas is projecting to be worse than the Bears next season. Seahawks, Saints, Commanders, Giants, Vikings, Cardinals, and Panthers. Those are the teams below the Bears as far as win totals, and the Vikings are at 6.5. And I think that that's exactly it. I think the Bears are going to be in that group, that cloud, with the Buccaneers, the Rams, and those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Likely two of them will get into the playoffs, and it's up to the Bears to improve enough to beat out a team like the Buccaneers, like the Rams, both two teams that were in that mix in the final couple weeks of last season as well. The Bears were there, and then they were kind of pushed out in the final week. They didn't quite get there. They almost did. But it came down to the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Bears, and the Packers kind of figuring out those spots last season. So I think it's interesting. I think, like, we could talk about this and be like, pie in the sky, this is how it should turn out, this is what we think will happen. But just go off of what Vegas is suggesting, and when you look at just the NFC – the Bears are theoretically the first team left out if you're looking at win totals and you're looking at the specific odds, the Bears being a -135 to go over the number of 8.5. So, you know, like when you kind of look at it, the Rams and the Bucks have a little bit better spot as far as 8.5 goes, but they're right there in that conversation.
Look, if you like it, grab it now. If you like the 8.5, get it now, because barring a catastrophic injury, we all assume they're going to take Caleb Williams. There's not really any big additions that they can make in free agency. Everybody's gone. The only thing that I could see maybe swaying this, and it's very hard to push a number up, right, to 9. So it would have to get to like almost minus 200, minus 175, 180, 200 to push that number up to 9, 9.5. Is if they keep the pick at 9 and somehow Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, one of those, a difference maker on offense, falls to them. Because then you're talking about the ability to score even more. I think if they take Dallas Turner, if they take Jared Verse at 9, I don't think it moves the number up to 9. But I think it could move the juice. So if you like it at minus 135, if you like over 8.5, I would grab it today, but even before the draft.
I also saw this over the weekend. Pro Football Fantasy and Betting, their podcast, is projecting Caleb Williams to be a top 12 fantasy football quarterback next season.
Ooh, baby. Okay.
Now, again, it's a podcast for Pro Football Focus.
Fantasy, it's not reality.
Fantasy football. I guess the point is, some people are going to be thinking that Caleb Williams is going to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And immediately slot into this offense with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Swift and you got Everett and you got Cole Kmet and you got all these weapons with a quarterback who wants to throw from the pocket. And who knows what that means for win-loss, but there are people projecting that Caleb Williams could be a top 12 fantasy quarterback next season.
That's starting a 12-team league. If you ask me, it's a starter in a 12-team league.
I'm just pointing
a starter.
Out. I saw it over the weekend. I thought it was interesting, and we'll certainly keep our eyes on it. Caleb Williams expected to meet with the Chicago Bears this week at Hallis Hall, so he'll have his visit up in Lake Forest, and we can't wait for the NFL draft. We'll have full coverage all the way up until the NFL draft, and then also the night of right here on ESPN 1000. It's Black and Abdallah.
Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Thank you to Sean Graney for producing tonight's show, Black and Abdallah. We'll be back here on ESPN 1000 Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. Show announcement?
Oh! Do we have a show announcement to make?
I'm just going to keep hitting the...
Make sure people are listening.
Yeah, baseball tonight sounder.
Yeah.
Now listen, here's the deal. With baseball, it's always weather pending.
Yes.
Especially in April in Chicago. We understand that things change. You got to be flexible. Who knows, right? Like, you never know when a storm will pop up, when you'll get some snow flurries, and then baseball players don't want to play baseball. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow night here on the station, you will hear baseball, White Sox baseball, the Braves and the White Sox right here on ESPN 1000. Our show right now starts at 6:30. Most nights. White Sox baseball, when the game is a 7 o'clock first pitch, will start at 6:30. So what happens to Bleck and Abdallah when the White Sox play a night game?
Whatever will we do?
And tomorrow, Tuesday, will be the first time that this will take place.
Weather pending.
In this baseball season, of course. Weather pending, and we know tomorrow
a lot
we
of
might
rain.
Get some rain.
A lot
we
of
might
rain.
Get some snow. There might be a whole lot of stuff going on. What will happen is our show will be on YouTube. So on nights that the White Sox have a pregame show that starts at 6:30, you can catch Black and Abdallah on our YouTube page, and we will be there every single night of the week right there on YouTube. And if the White Sox are on, our show isn't just canceled for the day. We will be on YouTube, and you can also find the show on the ESPN Chicago app. So the show will go on, even though there's a night game tomorrow for the White Sox. We will still have Bleck and Abdallah right there on YouTube and right there on the ESPN Chicago app.
With a little twist.
Yeah, with it's a little different.
With a little twist.
You know, it's...
It's not just going to be us just talking to each other in microphones like that. There's going to be a little twist to it. A little twist.
So it'll give us an opportunity to kind of try something different, and we hope you join us. And youtube.com/@BleckandAbdallah is where you'll find everything you need from the show. Subscribe whenever a new video is posted. You'll be alerted right there. And throughout the summer, when the White Sox are playing games in the evening, that's where you're going to find Bleck and Abdallah, right there on YouTube, on the ESPN Chicago app. So we are not going anywhere tomorrow night. I know, weather pending. We'll see how that
goes. You might get
tomorrow.
A double dip tomorrow.
Maybe you'll get a little Bleck and Abdallah on YouTube, and then also you'll get the show tomorrow night. We'll see how that goes throughout the day. But we just wanted to get it out there that throughout the summer, you'll still be able to consume content from Bleck and Abdallah throughout the summer, even though the White Sox usually, for night games, will be starting up the pregame show at 6:30, and that's the normal time that we start the show at 6:30.
It's going to be exciting. Tune in, like, subscribe, set that alert, all that good stuff. It's going to be fun. You guys will love it, I promise.
YouTube.com/@BleckandAbdallah is where you can subscribe and find all of that stuff. So tomorrow is the first time that we are going to start doing that. And then, who knows, maybe weather pending, you'll also hear us here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Chicago's home for sports on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000. This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.